very elementary lessons on the Holy Spirit. And some people say that the churches of Christ and Christian churches hardly ever talk about the Holy Spirit, and they don't acknowledge the leadership of the Holy Spirit. And in Acts chapter 19 and verse 2, he said, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" And they answered, "Have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed?" And they said, "We have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Spirit." And some people think that's true of the churches of Christ and Christian churches. "Well, we didn't know anything at all about the Holy Spirit." Well, I don't believe that's true. I think I have in our library at the school 6 books written by Church of Christ, Christian church preachers on the Holy Spirit. Brother DeWelt wrote 3 or 4 volumes on the Holy Spirit. And so I just don't think it's a bit fair to say that we don't talk very much about the Holy Spirit. But on the other hand, there are some people that do not talk a lot about the Holy Spirit because they are so afraid that they're going to be considered Pentecostal or charismatic. And they've ran so far from the churches that just constantly dwell on the Holy Spirit that they don't talk a whole lot about the Holy Spirit, and that's not a fair thing. And so I want to try to blow up some ideas that we have among our people about that. We're not Pentecostals, we're not Charismatics, but the Holy Spirit isn't dead. The Holy Spirit is still alive and well and working within the church. Some people teach that from Genesis to Malachi was the dispensation of the Father, and that while Jesus was here on earth, that was the dispensation of the Son. And now, in the book of Acts following, that's the dispensation of the Holy Spirit. So the Father was the one people were dealing with in the Old Testament, and then the Son, he became a man here on earth, and that was the dispensation of Jesus Christ, the Son. And now we're in the dispensation of the Holy Spirit. And when you first hear that, you go, "Well, that's interesting, but it's not true. It's not true." And I want you to know this is the fact. The fact is that any time man has dealt with God, they have dealt with God the Son. Because in the Old Testament, sometimes you would have what's called a theophany. A theophany is when God appeared in the Old Testament. He walked in the coolness of the day with Adam and Eve. And of course, the Lord appeared. It talks about the Lord showing up in the Old Testament. And he said, "I am appeared unto you." But in the New Testament, the Bible plainly teaches that Jesus is the I am. And Old Testament talked about he was the first and the last. New Testament says Jesus is the first and the last, or the Alpha and Omega. And so any time that someone had a communication with God, even in the Old Testament, it was God the Son. Now listen to what it says in John chapter 1. "No man has seen God at any time. The Son, who's in the bosom of the Father..." Now, John's writing, let's say, in 60, 70 A.D. And here's what he says. "No one's ever seen God at any time. The Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him." So in 60 A.D., John is saying he, Christ, is in the bosom of the Father. And so no one's ever seen God the Father, but they have seen God the Son. And he's the one that has declared God. He's the one that reveals God in the Old Testament and the New Testament. Jesus said, "Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad." Abraham had a theophany. He saw Christ with the 2 angels that came to his house, and Abraham called him Lord. The other 2 angels, the Lord stayed with Abraham, but he sent those two angels to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. The Bible says in Exodus 24, listen to this, then went up Moses and Aaron and Nadab and Abihu and the 70 elders of Israel, that's 74 men, then went up Moses and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, and the 70 elders of Israel, and they saw the God of Israel, and did eat and drink with him. It wasn't a vision. He ate and drank with them. Who did? The Lord, the God of Israel. They didn't see God the Father. They saw God the Son. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, that's Jesus, the Word. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that hath been made. So Jesus, the Word, is the Creator, and He's with God, and He is God. And the same was in the beginning with God, the Bible says. So anytime God communicated with man, it was always God the Son. Anytime those people that were called God in the Old Testament, when they saw God, it was God the Son. Because John plainly says, no one has ever seen God at any time. It's the Son who's in the bosom of the Father now. He's the one that's made Him known. So no one's ever seen God the Father. So don't believe the idea that in the Old Testament, it was the dispensation of the Father. New Testament is the dispensation of the Son. And since Jesus ascended into heaven, it's the dispensation of the Holy Spirit. The Bible just does not bear that out. It's blatantly false to teach that, and it's going to cause you a lot of confusion if you don't understand that. Years ago, 1972 to be exact, I made a chart. And if you look with me in Acts chapter 1, look what it says. The former treatise, now Luke's writing to this fellow by the name of Theophilus. The former treatise, that'd be the book of Luke. The former treatise, that's the book of Luke. Have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach until the day in which He was taken up, after that He, through the Holy Spirit, had given commandments unto the apostles whom He had chosen, to whom also He showed Himself alive, or after His passion, by many infallible proofs, being seen to them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Now, Luke wrote Luke. Now he's writing another book, and he's saying, now, in the former treatise, I taught you what Jesus did until He was received up into heaven. This book is called the Acts of the Apostles. Now, the Bible doesn't call it that. That's a name that men have stuck on this book. Some say it ought to be called the Acts of some of the Apostles. Some say it ought to be called some of the Acts of some of the Apostles. Some say it ought to be what I think it ought to be, the Acts of the Lord, after He was taken up. Luke tells us what He did until the day He was taken up. But the book of Acts shows what Christ continued to do from heaven. So Luke shows His activity as a man, and then the book of Acts shows, with Luke being the author, what Jesus continued to do after He went up into heaven. Now, for example, I'm just going to give you some of these tonight before we start the other part about the Holy Spirit, because it's important that you understand the book of Acts is what Jesus continued to do, and that's what He's showing here. He's showing what Jesus did until the day He was taken up, and, of course, this shows Jesus ascending into heaven. And what are you men doing standing here? The same Jesus whom you saw ascend up into heaven will come in like manner as you've seen Him go. And then they returned unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from the Jerusalem a Sabbath day's journey. And so that tells that Jesus ascended. Now the book of Acts is going to tell us what Jesus did from heaven. Look in Acts chapter 2 and verse 47. Notice after those people, it says in verse 41, after Peter had preached, repent and be baptized for the remission of your sins, and you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Look what 42 says. Or 41 says, I'm sorry. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. And they were, same day there was added unto them about 3,000 souls. All right? Jesus sent into heaven, Holy Spirit came, and he preached. And those that gladly listened to what Peter said and received it were baptized. See, if a person gladly receives the word, he'll be baptized. If he argues about it, he fusses about it, he makes debates about it, and fusses and fumes about it, and loses his temper over it, he didn't gladly receive the word. A man doesn't receive the word if he's not baptized. Those that gladly received the word were baptized, and there was added about 3,000 souls. Well, who did the adding? Well, let's look at verse 47. Praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. So what's God doing here? He's adding the saved to the church. He isn't just sitting on the right hand of God. He's still active. And when those people obeyed the gospel, the Lord added them to the church. Or if you look in Acts chapter 16, you'll notice here something about this girl. She was a seller of purple, and look what it says that she did. Acts chapter 16, and Paul's there, and he goes to the riverside. These ladies are having a woman's Bible study along the riverside. And if you'll notice what it says, verse 14, a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshiped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened. When she attended unto the words which were spoken of Paul. So she heard Paul preach, and when she attended to the things Paul was preaching, then the Lord opened her heart. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. But notice it's the Lord who opened her heart to receive the word. And when she was baptized and her household, she besought us, saying, if you've judged me faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us. And so there Jesus is opening a person's heart after hearing the word of God. That's what opens the heart. Faith comes by hearing the word of God. And you remember Cornelius. The Bible says there that he said, you go and you send for Peter, whose surname is, or Simon, whose surname is Peter. You have him come, and he will tell you words whereby you might be saved. So the Lord sent an angel to Cornelius, said, you send for Peter, and Peter will tell you words whereby you might be saved. So in the book of Acts, Jesus is opening hearts. He's adding the saved to the church. He's having directions to a preacher to go there. Remember, Peter was told to go there so that they could hear words whereby they might be saved. So the Lord's involved in evangelism in the book of Acts. But he does some other things, and I'm not going to read all these. I wouldn't have time, because I'm just trying to impress you from the book of Acts. God, or the Lord, the Son of God, is working from his throne in heaven. Remember in Acts chapter 5, and one of the things he does is he delivers from prison. Notice the Lord sent an angel, and Peter is here in prison, and they laid hands on the apostles and put them in a common prison, but the angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors and brought them forth and said, go stand and speak to the people all of the words of life. And when they heard, they had entered into the temple early in the morning and taught. So, first of all, the Lord sent an angel to get Peter out of that prison. See, he isn't sitting up there doing nothing. The Bible says, what are angels? Ministering spirit sent forth to us who are the heirs of salvation. And here's Peter in prison, And so he sends an angel to get him out of prison. So he's active. Or in chapter 12, Peter's in jail again. And in the 12th chapter and the 11th verse, and I believe I have the wrong, no, I didn't. When Peter has come, now this is another time. Now, when Peter has come to himself, he said, "Now I know of a surety that the Lord has sent his angel and delivered me out of the hand of Herod and from all the expectations of the people of the Jews." And when he considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where men were gathered together praying. So that's the second time Peter is in prison. What's the Lord do? The Lord sends an angel. See, he is aware. He's continuing to be active, even though he is in heaven. So Luke tells what he did while he was on earth, but Acts is telling us, Luke's telling us in the book of Acts, here's what Jesus is doing after he ascended up into heaven. And in chapter 16 and verse 26, he does it again, only this time, it's Paul and Silas. And of course, what happens? They're singing praises, and suddenly there was a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison awakened out of his sleep, and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But he said, "Do thyself no harm, we're all still here." And of course, the Lord this time had caused the earthquake so that Paul and Silas could get out of jail and preach. Now you notice, don't you, that every time the Lord did a miracle and got someone out of prison, and almost every conversion we've looked at so far, God was active. I've read you about the conversion of those on the day of Pentecost. I've read you about the conversion of Lydia when her heart was opened. Cornelius, give you words whereby you might be saved. And when the apostles got out of prison, they went and taught the word. When Peter was in prison, he went and taught the word. And Paul and Silas's conversion of the Philippian jailer. There are 9 conversions in the book of Acts. And you can see that God is active in these conversions. Now, Jesus never came down and appeared to someone personally on how to be saved after he ascended up into heaven. He'd send an angel, or as I'll show you pretty soon, he'd have the Spirit lay it upon the heart of the preacher to go do this. Jesus never preached after he ascended up into heaven. He'd send an angel, have his Spirit induce the guy to go, but Jesus never preached. Secondly, the angels never gave the message. Take, for example, the Philippian jailer. The Spirit made him go join himself to the chariot, but before that, an angel appeared to Philip and said, "Go, and you go down there, and you go to the place which is a desert, and there's a man down there." And the angel told Philip. Philip started going, and the Spirit told him, "You join yourself to that." See, we don't know. We don't want to forget. I don't care whether it's on Pentecost or Lydia or Cornelius or Lydia or whether it was the Philippian jailer or the Ethiopian eunuch. There's 6 of them right there. God played a part on who preached. It was not angels that preached, and it wasn't Jesus that preached, and the Spirit didn't give some kind of inner light to convert the guy. Men's voice. I heard Brother Greenleaf say one time that where it says that Philip opened his mouth and preached unto him Jesus. And he preached a whole sermon on that. Peter opened his mouth. And he was trying to tell us that we have to open our mouth because God uses people to win people. And the Lord might cause a catastrophe like an earthquake. He might have opened up the prison. He might have sent a specific man, Peter. Cornelius lived in a town where Philip lived. But Philip wasn't an apostle. And since he wasn't an apostle, the miraculous gift of the Holy Spirit couldn't come on Cornelius. It had to be an apostle present for the Holy Spirit to come on them. And so what I'm trying to impress upon you is the very fact that all through the book of Acts, God is moving, even when it comes to conversions. So what that means is ours may not be as pronounced, but God answers prayer. And when we go forth to evangelize, it could be that unseen to us, an angel has done something. A catastrophe, like an earthquake, has happened. But what we got to do is we got to open our mouth. And the point I'm making is that Jesus is alive and well, and he's working with his church. And when people repent and are baptized, then they're added to the church. And the Bible says it's the Lord that adds to the church daily those that are being saved. All right, that was he delivers from dungeons. And then if you'll remember the fortune teller in chapter 16 and verse 18, this girl kept following along behind Paul. And it came to pass, he says, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination. In other words, she was a witch that could divine, met with, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. That's fortune telling. And the same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. I don't know why the King James translated that, the way of salvation, because there is no definite article. She was saying, they're telling you a way of salvation. And it says the way in the King James, but there is no definite article. And this she did many days, but Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, in other words, the Spirit that was in the girl, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he carried, came out the same hour. And so that really got Paul in trouble with those people that was making money off of this poor, demented girl. But you see, the Lord delivered her. It was in the name of the Lord that that demon came out of that woman. Or, for example, there was another man in chapter 19, and this is in verse 11. And God wrought special miracles by the hand of Paul, so that from their body were brought unto them sick handkerchiefs or aprons, and the diseases departed from them, and evil spirits went out of them. And then came certain vagabond Jews, exorcists. These were men who could cast out demons. They took upon them to call over them which had evil spirits the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, we adjure you by Jesus, whom Paul preacheth. And there were seven sons of one Sceva, a Jew, and the chief of the priests, which did this so. And the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you? And the man in whom the evil spirit leaped upon them and overcame them and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of the house naked and wounded. And this was known to all the Jews and Greeks also dwelling at Ephesus, and fear fell on them all, and the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. And many believed, came and confessed and showed their deeds. So see, Jesus did this. It was in the name of Jesus that this was done. And of course, Philip cast out demons in Acts chapter 8, verse 7. So Jesus is alive. He delivers from dungeon. He delivers from demons. I don't have to tell you all these. He delivered from disease. Peter and that lame man there laying at the gate. And Aeneas in chapter 9, verse 34. Philip did in chapter 8, verse 7. And of course, Paul did in 14, verses 3 through 4. So those are all done in the name or by the authority or power of Jesus Christ. He is alive and well. It's what he's doing now that he has ascended up into heaven. And once you get what I'm saying to you, you'll read the book of Acts totally different. Is not just a story. It's Jesus working from his throne in heaven, sending angels, sending earthquakes, having his spirit inspire men, and sending angels open the doors of dungeons to the apostles and Peter and Paul and Silas, casting out demons, healing people of their diseases. And in the case of Dorcas, Peter healed Dorcas and raised her back from the dead. So Jesus raises from the dead. And with Eutychus, the young man that was sitting in the window and fell out the window, and they took him up for dead. But Paul said, no, his breath is yet in him. And he just raised the boy back up. So Jesus is raising the dead. And in Paul, the time that he was on this island, and he was gathering sticks to build a fire, and a serpent bit him. And when the serpent bit him, he just flung it off. And they thought, well, no doubt about it, this guy's escaped the death from the sea, but he must be a murderer, and he's going to get his now because that serpent bit him. But he just cast it aside, and they waited and waited and waited. And he didn't die, and then they figured he was a god instead of the crook. And but see, that was the Lord. The Lord was working with these apostles. Now, that goes along with Mark 16. Look what Mark 16 says. These signs shall follow them that believe. In my name, they shall cast out demons, and they'll speak with new tongues, and they shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it'll not hurt them, and they'll lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Now listen to this. So then, after the Lord had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God, and they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them, confirming the word with signs following. See, the Lord was working. This is after he ascended up in heaven. The Lord was working with them. Now, he said, here's what's going to happen. You're going to cast out demons. We've already seen that. You're going to speak with new tongues. That happened on the day of Pentecost and also in Acts 19. They take up serpents, and that's when Paul threw them down. And if they drink any deadly thing, we don't have an example of that, it shall not hurt them. And they'll lay hands on the sick. We've seen that. And they'll recover. We've seen that. And it's the Lord working with them. So the thing I really want to impress upon you is Jesus died and was buried and arose again, and he's ascended up into heaven, but he didn't retire. He's up there, and he's working with us. And this is the acts of Jesus Christ, not the acts of the apostles. And it's telling us, Luke told you, I told you in my first book what he did before he ascended. Now I'm going to tell you what he did after he ascended. And I'm giving you examples of that very thing. Now, in 1:5 of Acts, he promised the Holy Spirit. Before he ascended, you'll receive power. John baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days hence. And, well, you want to restore the kingdom at this time? And he said, it's not for you to know the times and the seasons. God's put that in his own power. The Father's put that in his own power. But you shall receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you'll be my witnesses, or witnesses unto me. And that word witnesses is a hard word. It's the word martyrs. You will be martyrs unto me, both in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. In fact, that verse is the key verse of Acts. He says, you'll be witnesses in Jerusalem. So the first part of Acts is what happened in Jerusalem. Then he says, in all Judea. So they went out preaching other places. And then they went down to Samaria. And Peter went down there after Philip went down there and converted a bunch of people. And then into the uttermost parts of the earth. That's the outline of the book of Acts. And you can just break the chapters down. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, uttermost parts of the earth. So first some native Jews were converted. And then people from all over Judea, and then people in Samaria, and then you started converting absolute Gentiles. But the point is, he promised them the Holy Spirit. It was given to the Jews in chapter 2 and verse 33, and given to the Gentiles at the household of Cornelius in Acts chapter 10. And 11:21 says this, that's kind of important, Acts chapter 11 and verse 21. Where it says this, And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. And so these were people that were being converted there in the 11th chapter, and they were Gentiles. And so he's with them. The Lord was with them. And that's why he told the apostles, lo, I am with you always, even up to the end of the age. Now, he also does some foretelling. For example, in chapter 11, verse 28, he says this, and there stood up a man named Agabus, a prophet, and he signified by the Spirit that there would be a great dearth throughout the world, which came to pass in the days of Claudius Caesar. And the disciples, every man according to his ability, determined to send relief unto the brethren which dwelt in Judea, which also they did, and sent it to the elders by the hands of Barnabas and Saul. And so here's a prophet, and he's inspired and saying, hey, there's going to be a drought, and there's going to be a famine. And so they thought, well, if there's going to be a famine like Joseph of old, let's start getting ready so that we can feed these people. And that shows a very good thing right there in the fact that it shows the cooperation among brethren to feed people. It just happened to be the brethren that was in Judea that they first fed the people. And then Paul's imprisonment in chapter 21 and verse 11, there's a foretelling of an event. 21, verse 11, where he says this. It's 21:11. I'm sorry, I'm looking at the wrong verse. It says this, Agabus, when he had come down, he took Paul's girdle and bound his own hands and feet and said, thus saith the Holy Spirit, so shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man that owns this girdle and shall deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles. And when they heard these things, both we and they of that place besought him not to go up to Jerusalem. And Paul said, what do you mean to weep and break my heart? I am ready not to be bound only, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name or the authority of the Lord Jesus. And when he would not be persuaded, may the will of the Lord be done. And so here he is foretelling an imprisonment. And of course, you remember in Acts 24 and verse 26, Paul predicted the destruction of the ship that he was sailing to Rome on, and he said, it's going to be lost. But if you stay in the boat, if you stay in the boat, you won't lose a hair of your head. And some men tried to get out, and he said, if these don't abide in the ship, we'll be lost. And so they were letting down a boat secretly so they could escape, but they were caught. And so everything he said to pass, he said that the boat would be destroyed, everything would be lost except the men's lives. And so there was a prophecy of the Lord what would happen to the ship. So you can see Jesus is inspiring men to foretell. And then in the chapter 9 and verse 31, we have an example of the Holy Spirit, or rather the Son, of Jesus comforting. 9 chapter 31 says he used the Spirit here. Then had the churches rest throughout Judea and Galilee and Samaria, and were edified, walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, were multiplied. And so there they had the Holy Spirit, they were comforted, and Christ was glorified. In chapter 18 and verse 9, there's a scripture. The Lord does something else here in 18:9. Then spake the Lord to Paul. The Lord, say that's the Lord Jesus, spake to Paul by night by a vision, be not afraid, but speak, and hold not your peace. And in chapter 23 and in verse 11, there's some more comforting going on. What it says in 23:11, at that night found the Lord stood by him and said, be of good cheer, Paul, for you have testified of me in Jerusalem. You must also bear witness in Rome. See, he's comforting. That's the Lord talking directly to them. In Acts 1, you've got the Lord choosing Judas's successor. In Acts 15, the apostles and elders came together, and the Lord led them to understand you do not have to be circumcised. What you need to do, he says, it seems good unto the Lord, abstain from fornication, things strangled, from blood. One more. What's the other one? Pardon? No, I said fornication. Fornication, things strangled. Meat sacrificed to idols. So the Lord, see, is leading them in that question. In Acts 16, Paul says he wanted to go to Asia, but the Lord forbade me. And then he repeatedly, in 20, 23, 21, 4, 22, 21, the Lord's testifying over and over, you go to Jerusalem, you're going to die. And so he's leading Paul. Then also he empowers. In chapter 4, verse 31, which is a great passage, 4 and verse 31, here's what it says. When they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spake the word of God with boldness. And the multitude of them that believed were one heart and one soul, neither said of them aught any of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. So here he's empowering them with boldness. And chapter 14 shows them receiving signs and wonders. And then God gave gifts. In chapter 2, he gave them the miraculous gifts of the Holy Spirit. But before that, there was a sound of a rushing mighty wind. And there were tongues like fire that set on the apostles. And of course, that came from the Lord. In Acts chapter 6, they chose 7 deacons to help the apostles. Then the Samaritans were given the Holy Spirit to establish the apostles' authority. And we'll talk more about this later. And to Cornelius, he got the Holy Spirit to convince Peter that Gentiles could be saved, and that was from the Lord. And to the Ephesians church in chapter 19, the people were edified. They found out about Jesus. And so then, when they found out about Jesus, then they, even though they'd been baptized by John, now that they found out about Jesus and who it was that John had prophesied, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And then in the apostles to whom they had laid their hands to confirm and edify church. Whenever the apostles laid their hands on a man, and we're going to study this more in depth later, then the miraculous Holy Spirit, one of the gifts of the Spirit was given to that person. And that was, of course, done through the power of Christ. He struck Ananias and Sapphira dead. He struck Elymas the sorcerer blind. And Herod came out and preached, looking all great, was a great orator. And they said, this is not the voice of a man, this is the voice of a God. And the Lord struck him with worms, and he died. And, of course, he commissions Philip, as I said, to join to the eunuch and come over Macedonia and help us. So Paul was given the charge to do missionary work along with Paul. And in Acts 13, he says, separate me, Paul and Barnabas, to do the work to which I have called them. See, he's not sitting up there doing nothing. He is in charge, and it's important to see this. He gave a vision to Peter that Cornelius needed to preach to. Ananias, you go. The Lord appeared to Ananias and said, hey, there's a guy over here named Saul of Tarsus. I want you to go preach to him. You know what he's done, Lord? You know good and well that he's killed the Christians, and he's got papers to kill us Christians. And he convinced Ananias to go. He said, he is a chosen vessel unto me, and I'll show him what great things he must suffer for my namesake. And then, as I said, he called Paul to Macedonia to go preach. And then he commissioned by an angel to the apostles, to Philip, to Cornelius, to Peter, to Herod, and to Paul. So he's constantly giving commissions to people. And then that's by the Spirit he called, by visions he called, by angels he commissioned, and by the word he commissions. Apostles are to wait in Jerusalem until you're endued from power from on high. And then you're going to receive that power. Then I want you to go to Jerusalem. Then I want you to go on into Judea. Then I want you to go into Samaria. And then I want you to go into the uttermost parts of the earth. And so chapters 1 through 7 is in Jerusalem. 8 and 9 is in Judea. 8 and 9 is also in Samaria. Chapter 10, verse 28 starts where they went into the uttermost parts of the earth. And two more. He appears. He appears. He appeared to Stephen. Stephen's being stoned. And Stephen sees Jesus standing, not sitting, standing on the right hand of God. Now, the Bible says Jesus is sitting on the right hand of God. But Stephen saw him standing. Why? My opinion. That was the first martyr. And I believe when Jesus saw Stephen stoned, he leaped to his feet. Because he was the first person to die for his faith as a Christian. And then also, he appeared to Paul on the road. Who are you, Lord? And I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. In fact, he says, why are you persecuting me? See, when you persecute his church, you're persecuting him. But the Bible plainly says he appeared unto Paul on the road to Damascus. So, what I'm really wanting you to grasp, now I hope I've got this across, that in the book of Acts, it's not like Jesus went up to heaven, sat down, and all he does is sit there and makes intercession for us. He is involved with his church. He is active. He leaps to his feet, you might say, when he saw that first martyr die. He's saving. He's delivering from the dungeon and demons and disease and death and serpents. He's promising the Holy Spirit to the Jews, Gentiles. He foretells there'd be this drought, that Paul would be imprisoned, that the ship would wreck. He's comforting people by the Holy Spirit and also by angels and also by visions from the Lord. He's leading and choosing Judas's successor. They have a doctrinal issue. It seemed good unto us and to the Lord. And so he's helping make decisions. And he's empowering people with boldness. He's giving them signs, which was to attract people to hear the message. And he gave gifts to people. And not only Gentiles, but those Ephesians that believed. He smites people dead, like he did Ananias and Sapphira. Strikes them blind by the hand of Paul, like he did Elymas, Herod with worms. See, he's active. He's doing things. This is the Acts of Jesus Christ. This is what he did when he was here on earth. That's the book of Luke. But this is what he does in the book of Acts. And he's still working. And he's still saving people. He still plays a part. You're the key. There's people come across your path. Remember, if a man asks and seeks and knocks, he's going to receive. The door's going to be opened. And so when you realize he asks, you receive. He knocks, he opens. What's the other? Ask and seek. If you seek, they're going to find. But we're the people that he sends. We're the ones that have to play our part in the salvation process. The Spirit does not do it. Angels do not preach. And the Lord never told anybody after he ascended into heaven what they had to do to be saved. He uses men. One time, this of course just a made up story, someone said, and an angel said to the Lord, Lord, what's your plan? How are you going to change the world? Well, I got those men down there, those 12 little scrawny, fighting, feuding, proud, arrogant apostles. You think you're going to change the world? Yeah. They'll teach others. What's plan B? And the Lord said, I don't have plan B. All he's got is the Spirit convicting us to do something. And we may not see them, but there may be angels involved. There may be angels involved, and God wants us to be involved, but we're the breaking point. We didn't witness. We didn't take that advantage. We never told that person. My boy Jeff went with me to preach last week. And while he was there, his next door neighbor had a heart attack. And his wife called him and said, he's dying. And Jeff prayed and prayed and prayed all the way home. Lord, let him live. Let me talk to him again. He lived next door to him 13 years, and he never talked to him but three times. The guy get mad if you tried to talk to him, but he was warming up, beginning to ask questions. And Jeff had told him, said, hey, I forget who it was one of the men in his church is really a Corvette fan, and this guy was a Corvette fan, and Jeff was going to get all three of them together and talk Corvettes, and he never got it done. And Kendall was just, Jeff was just brokenhearted. I only talked to him three times. See? He didn't take all the opportunities, and I don't take all the opportunities I ought to either. Ironically, by the time he got home, his next door neighbor, I can't remember what it is, he says, it don't pay to live next door to me. he's really concerned about that. But my point of it is, we got to take the opportunity. We got to search for opportunities. Jesus is alive. But my second point, not just that Jesus, these are the acts of Jesus, now that he's ascended. The second point I want you to get across is, you got a part in this. He isn't going to speak to them. The Holy Spirit is not going to speak to them. Now, the Holy Spirit can convict them through the Word. And angels aren't going to do the preaching. The Spirit and angels and Jesus never preach. Us. And so let's open our mouth and preach unto them Jesus. And maybe one of them will say, here's water. Why can't I be baptized? Father, we're so thankful for your word, and it just thrills my soul to know that Jesus is interested. He didn't just see a sparrow fall. He sees men fall, and it breaks his heart when we have not witnessed to him and taken the opportunity to talk to our family and our friends. And how many times we've seen people that just don't witness. They're not going to get it by osmosis, Lord. We have got to share our faith and give an opportunity for the Holy Spirit to convict, but we got to use words whereby men might be saved. Help us do that, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.